opposing candidates he views as being unfriendly to Israel. Mr. Golland recently agreed to pay a $5,000 fine for his role in running television commercials attacking former Senator Charles Percy of Illinois, who was defeated in his 1984 race for re-election. According to the Los Angeles Times, the commercials were illegal because the source of the, according to the Wall Street Journal, at a reception held for Shaw, Golland is quoted as saying to Shaw, "TM going to get you, just like I got." Since the establishment of modern Israel in 1948, only a handful of senators have said or done anything in opposition to the policies of the government of Israel. Those who break ranks find themselves in difficulty. The trouble can arise from a speech, an amendment, a vote, a published statement, or a combination of these. It may take the form of a challenge in the next primary or general election. Or the trouble may not surface until later after service in the Senate has ended. Such was the unfortunate the Adlai Stevenson III candidacy. The cover of the October 1982 edition of the monthly magazine Jewish Chicago featured a portrait of Adlai Stevenson III, Democratic candidate for governor of Illinois. In the background, over the right shoulder of a smiling Stevenson, an Arab, rifle slung over his shoulder, glared ominously through a keffiyeh that covered his head and most of his face. The headline announcing the issue's feature article read, "Looking at Adlai through Jewish eyes." The illustration and article were part of an anti-Stevenson campaign conducted by some of the 250,000 people in Chicago's Jewish community who wanted Stevenson to fail in his challenge to Thompson, a Republican, was attempting a feat sometimes tried, but never before accomplished in Illinois history: election to a third term as governor. Normally, a Republican in Illinois can expect only minimal Jewish support at the polls. A crucial part of the anti-Stevenson campaign was a caricature of his Middle East record while he was a member of the U.S. Senate. Stevenson was presented as an enemy of Israel and an ally of this was astonishing to Stevenson, since the makeup of his campaign organization, the character of his campaign, and the support he had received in the past in Jewish neighborhoods provided little hint of trouble. Several of the most important members of his campaign team were Jewish: Philip Klutznik, president emeritus of Bnei Brith and an organizer of the Conference of Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations, agreed to organize Stevenson's main campaign dinner. Milton Fisher, prominent attorney, was chairman of his finance committee. Rick Jasulka, a public relations executive who became Stevenson's full-time press secretary. Stevenson chose Grace Mary Stern as his running mate for the position of lieutenant governor. Her husband was prominent in Chicago Jewish affairs. Stevenson himself had received several honors from Jewish groups in preceding years. He had been selected by the Chicago Jewish community as 1974 Israel Bonds Man of the Year, and was honored by the government of Israel, which established the Adlai Stevenson III chair at the Weizmann Institute of Science in Rehovot. Stevenson had every reason to expect that organized Illinois Jerry would overlook his occasional mild position critical of Israeli policy. But trouble developed. A segment of the Jewish community quietly launched an attack that would cost him heavily. Stevenson's detractors were determined to defeat him in the governor's race, and thus discourage a future Stevenson bid for the presidency. Their basic tool was a document provided by AIPAC in Washington. It was presented as a summary of Stevenson's Senate actions on Middle East issues, though it made no mention of his almost unblemished record of support for Israel and the tributes the Jewish community had presented to him in testimony of this support. For example, AIPAC pulled from a 21-page report Stevenson prepared after a 1967 trip to the Middle East just one phrase: "There is no organization other than the PLO with a broadly recognized claim to represent the Palestinians." This was a simple statement of fact. But the writer of the Jewish Chicago article, citing the AIPAC summary, asserted that these words had helped to give Stevenson a reputation as one of the harshest critics of both Israeli policy and of U.S. support for the Jewish state. Stevenson's assessment of the PLO's standing in the Palestinian community was interpreted as an assault on Israel. In fact, the full paragraph in the Stevenson report from which AIPAC took its brief excerpt is studied and reasonable. The Palestinians are by general agreement the nub of the problem. Although badly divided, they have steadily increased in numbers, economic and military strength, and seriousness of purpose. They cannot be left out of any Middle East settlement. Their lack of unity is reflected in the lack of unity within the top ranks of the PLO, but there is no organization other than the PLO with a broadly recognized claim to represent the Palestinians. The Stevenson Report was critical of certain Israeli policies, but hardly hostile to Israel. The PLO, he wrote, may be distrusted, disowned, and despised, but it is a reality, if for no other reason than that it has no rival organization among Palestinians. Stevenson went on to issue a challenge to the political leaders of America. A new order of statesmanship is required from both the executive and the legislative branches. For too long, Congress has muddled or gone along without any real understanding of Middle Eastern politics. Neither the US, nor Israel, nor any of the Arab states will be served by continued ignorance or the expediences of election year politics. None of this positive comment found its way into the AIPAC report, or into the Jewish Chicago article, or into any of the anti-Stevenson literature which was distributed within the Jewish community during the 1982 campaign. The anti-Stevenson activists noted with alarm that in 1980 Stevenson had sponsored an amendment to reduce aid to Israel in the year before had supported a similar amendment offered by Senator Marco Hatfield, Republican of Oregon. The Hatfield amendment proposed to cut, by 10%, the amount of funds available to Israel for military credits. Stevenson's amendment focused on Israeli settlements in occupied territories, which President Carter and earlier administrations characterized as both illegal and an obstacle to peace, but did nothing to discourage beyond occasional expressions of regret. Stevenson proposed withholding $150 million in aid until Israel halted both the building and planning of additional settlements. The amendment did not cut funds, it simply withheld a fraction of the $2.18 billion total aid authorized for Israel that year. In speaking for the amendment, Stevenson noted that the outlay for Israel amounted to 43% of all U.S. funds allocated for such purposes worldwide. This preference for Israel diverts funds from the support of human life and vital American interests elsewhere in an interdependent and unstable world. If it could produce stability in the Middle East, or enhance Israel's security, it could be justified. But it reflects continued U.S. acquiescence in an Israeli policy, which threatens more Middle East instability, more Israeli insecurity, and a continued decline of U.S. authority in the world. Our support for Israel is not the issue here. Israel's support for the ideals of peace and justice which gave it birth are at issue. It is, I submit, for the Israel government to recognize again that Israel's interests are in harmony with our own, and for that to happen, it is important that we do not undermine the voices of peace in Israel or justify those, like Mr. Begin, who claim U.S. assistance from the Congress can be taken for granted. Emphasis supplied, the amendment was overwhelmingly defeated. Of course, all that Senator Stevenson was trying to do was exactly what Yehoshaphat Huckabee is begging America to do. He spoke up frankly as a true friend of Israel. The members of Congress who are afraid to speak out are not, as Huckabee says bitterly, real friends of Israel. Obviously, their actions are not prompted by any genuine friendship for Israel or special concern for its well-being. They are motivated simply by political. All that a real enemy of Israel needs to do is to support enthusiastically the Pied Pipers of the Likud and watch Israel march blindly into as a flyer distributed by an unidentified informed citizens against Stevenson committee, captioned a truth about Adlai Stevenson, used half-truths to brand Stevenson as anti-Israel during his Senate years and concluded, it is vitally important that Jewish voters be fully informed about Stevenson's record. Still dazzled by the Stevenson name, many Jews are totally unaware of his antagonism to Jewish interests. The committee provided no names or addresses of sponsoring individuals. The message on Don't Forget. It is well known that Stevenson considers the governor's chair as a stepping stone to the presidency. Spread the word. Let the A major problem was the unprinted but widely whispered charge of anti-Semitism against Stevenson, a man who, like his father, had